Project, we are throwing you back to the start of 2019 when we had a sit down with Marcus Smith, who is in Dubai, and he is a basically a freak. He likes to do some pretty crazy things. He was a long-time CrossFit Games athlete, and now he transitioned into more of the endurance sports and did a pretty crazy feat. He ran 30 marathons in 30 days. That's basically what this podcast was about. And since then, I've just kind of kept up to date with Marcus and what he's doing, and same sort of thing. He's just chasing crazy endurance goals. And the guy is an absolute machine. As you'll hear in this podcast, he went through a pretty freakish sort of life-threatening accident that he survived, thankfully. And I think he's just very resilient, it seems like, Marcus. You know, he's got a real good work ethic. He's got a spirit of... Yeah, it's only a spirit you can get from when you come from the UK. He's kind of just one of those badass UK guys. I think that from this podcast, what you kind of learn is, and especially with so many documentaries these days about different crazy endurance feats, is, you know, none of them are easy. Like, you know, just because you hear 30 marathons in 30 days, you try and kind of rationalize how hard it would be in your head, having zero experience of what that would be like. You start hearing the war stories of the pain and kind of the suffering that you have to put yourself through to get this sort of stuff done. And you can't really wrap your head around how painful and exhausting it must be. And I think these documentaries and these sort of podcasts are really good insight into the process that goes on here.
Yeah, it's an inspiring story. And I think particularly with Marcus, he's not like a runner from like the African jungle that ran a marathon to school every morning from when he was 10. And it wasn't hard for him. He's just like, you know, pretty regular guy.
Yeah.
Does a lot of CrossFit.
Yeah.
And has set himself a pretty crazy challenge.
And managed to run a business as well. I run a gym, which we know is not easy during this whole process as well. So, you know, running, resting, eating, sleeping, and then also doing work at the same time is pretty incredible. So, sponsoring the show today, we have...
Activated Nutrients, nice. Which is going off the hook right now. They did get out of stock for a very short period in the pandemic mess, but I think they're working overtime to get it out to the people. Right now, it's really the first line of defense that I recommend outside of social isolation.
Yeah. The reason that I think that you need a product like this long term now is because if you saw, well, basically, recording of this episode, we're in it right now, but depending on where we're at in the future, when you hear this, is going to the grocery store became like something that people didn't want to do unless they absolutely had to, which meant fresh vegetables or food that expired quickly, which, yeah, is your vegetables and fruits, people were getting less of. And so the fresh supply of fruits and vegetables was, you know, we kept that pretty low. So having greens, having nutrients every single day became a difficult option. So that's when powdered greens and high quality powdered greens like Activate Nutrients became a really good option. And so that is what I would always keep on hand, keep on stock, not because the pandemic's around the corner, but just because it's a really easy way. It's a really convenient way. It's a way that works for you guys to get in all the nutrients that you need every single day. And we've always said it. It's your health insurance. Mm. It's the policy you take out and you pay a little bit every single day to keep your body feeling optimal and just kind of tick all the boxes. So if you guys go to activatednutrients.com, use the code OFFERMMP, that's one word, OFFERMMP, you'll get 20% off any of your products. This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Raph Friedman, and you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Mind Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode. This week, we have on Marcus Smith. Now, for the OGs out there, we've actually been interviewed by Marcus Smith and Andre Houdet, that's Houdet, or however you say it. So they're the host of the Inner Fight podcast. We were on that show. But now the roles are reversed because Marcus has done something pretty incredible. He's run 30 marathons in 30 days. Which it's just one of those things where I think on the surface, it's like, oh, it's like pretty crazy. You're like, yeah. Mm. But then you think about how many Ks that is and you start doing the numbers and you're adding it up and you can imagine, you know, what just a normal working week feels like. Imagine if every day in that working week, you were also running a marathon, you're also trying to run a gym, you're also probably doing some emails and trying to set up media and all this sort of stuff. It's pretty crazy, but even before that, there was something even more crazy. But before we get into that, I just wanted to kind of get a little bit of background for maybe some of the listeners that aren't as familiar with your story. You live in Dubai. You own a gym. You run a gym in Dubai, but you're not from Dubai. So maybe give us a little bit of a background as to kind of your story.
That's probably the easiest place to start. I mean, I came here when I was 4 years old with my family, and when Dubai was pretty much a sandpit. And long story short, a little bit of school here, then back in the UK. We're from the UK originally, despite me talking with quite a strange accent. Maybe that's because my wife's very Australian. So it fits in with you guys, which is cool.
Yeah.
And basically, I moved back here when I finished playing rugby. I used to play rugby in Australia on the Gold Coast for Gold Coast Breakers. It was there 2003, 2004. And I moved back to Dubai 2004, 5 years with Adidas. A couple of years with Reebok, a year with Nike, and I was like, "Nah, there's something else. I'm gonna do what I feel passionate about, and that's kind of just testing my potential, and in the process, helping other people test their potential as well, and trying to make people's lives better." And early 2000 started playing around with CrossFit, and then 2008 set up InnerFight, which was super straightforward, just a website. I was like, "Here's the way I'm working out. If you like it, use it. Otherwise, just don't complain. I don't care. Like, yeah. If you want it, here it is. It's free. Like, it's working for me." And I was obviously still in pretty good shape. And, you know, I said, it's a little bit CrossFit, and where it was CrossFit workouts, we credited CrossFit, and otherwise, like, I just found this workout super good. That sort of started in a fight. 2010, left the corporate world. I was like, that's not for me. I need to do this full time. And if I'm going to make it the best out of it, I'm going to have to put all of my energy into it, which, so I think you guys know, like, it's a pretty big move. You go from having, you know, a pay packet, all the security of what corporate world brings, you know, paid holidays, turning your phone off at 6 p.m. to literally, okay, tomorrow I got to make some money. And I thought about that a lot. And I was like, from day one, I was like, forget about the money. That doesn't matter. What really matters is you just follow your vision. And our vision was just to make people's lives better. And I was like, if we make enough people better, then we'll have a great business and we'll make money. And yeah, sort of now, 10 years later, 5,000 square foot gym here in Dubai, paleo food company, and yeah, just finished running for a month, which is quite good fun as well.
Yeah, awesome. And just in the lead up to that, there was a little bit of a hiccup. To be fair, you've changed significantly in size since we podcast. You were quite a thick dude. And then, like, I was checking out your Instagram when you were doing the cycling after speaking with Matt Walrath, who coached you for a bit. And yeah, you lost a significant amount of weight. Can you talk about that transition from, like, beast mode to...
I think that's quite important. Like, 2017, I just turned 40 recently. So 2017, I tried to qualify for the Masters CrossFit Games. Finished 72nd in the world, so obviously missed that out. Wasn't quite good enough. I was probably about 94 kilos at that time. And literally, just as that was finishing, a guy called me up and he said, I'm organizing ultra cycling races. I was like, what the freaking hell is an ultra cycling race? Mm. And he's talking to me on Skype and he's like, 1,000K, 3, 2, 1, go. This sounds like something I want to get involved in. And he said there's going to be 4 in 2018 on 4 different continents. And he was basically putting a challenge out to me. He said, I want you involved. And do you think you can complete all 4 races within a year and essentially hold a world record? And I was like, well, yeah, I can probably give that a shot. Mm. And so I sort of just went head on into – I'd cycled before, but I was like, I'm just going to try this. You know, CrossFit will always be there. It's all good. You know, I can build muscle back up. And I, 10th of February, I was out training, just all in, just love it. And that, I think that's one thing. I love the process. The goal is cool, but for me, waking up every day, geeking out on the equipment, just training, I love training. You know, like, I'm not saying I love every single minute of it, but that for me just brings so much focus. And 10th of February, I was out training with a couple of buddies, four of us, and going down a hill, not too steep. We're going about 60 Ks an hour, and a truck pulled in front of me. And I hit the front of the truck, and by hitting the front, the truck pushed me onto a brick wall. And I subsequently hit a brick wall at 54 kilometers an hour.
Fuck.
On impact, I broke my whole of my left shoulder, my scapula all at the back. I broke 7 ribs, and which was fine. The bones heal easily, like, it's just a little bit painful. But what really sort of threatened my life, which I realized quite quickly, was I punctured my left lung. And I was laid on the side of the road, and I was really abusing this truck driver who was walking towards me. I'm like, I want to fucking kill you, man. All this stuff. And one of my friends just put me on the shoulder. He goes, bro, just take it easy. And blood started coming out of my mouth. And I was like, oh, I've seen this before in a movie.
What was the movie? How did it end?
I don't know. You know when you see movies and people get shot and yeah. stuff and there's blood starts coming out of their mouth?
Mm.
And I'm like, this normally ends really badly.
Mm.
And I laid there and I was like, I'm in a bad situation. And this is where nothing else matters. And it's like almost an ultimate state of flow, I guess, just in a different situation where I was like, I just said to myself, you need to focus because you could die here. And I was like, I don't really want to die because I was just having such a good time. I was having a great time. And I was like, I asked myself this question, what can I do right now to stay alive? And the answer was to try and breathe. Now, when you talk about breathing, like, well, it's easy. We do it subconsciously, you know, all day long. Well, that makes you quite primal when that one thing, breathing, like literally the shallowest breath, it's like being winded, but I guess 10 times worse, like, because your lung is just bleeding into your sort of ribcage area and you're going on one lung. And I started a fight for my life for the next, we're in the middle of the mountains, we're 2 hours from anywhere. And it took 2.5 hours to get to a hospital and to get some medical care. And yeah, that was a super interesting time. Because, you know, like, I went in one ambulance and it wasn't quite, they didn't have any oxygen in it. And then I got
fucking hell. Like,
it was just, yeah. I mean, it was the fastest way to get me there, though, guys. Like, they found this police ambulance. And I just remember so clearly going into it and I was like, oh, I'm in an ambulance. This is going to be awesome. And one of the guys reached over for the oxygen and he just tried to turn it on. And this little it just went,
oh my goodness.
Brown air and water just dribbled out of this tap. And
I'm like,
wow, I'm still fighting for my life. And I was in that ambulance for like 30, 40 minutes. And they put me in another one, emergency room. And yeah, 3 days intensive care, 7 days in hospital. And it was wild. You know, and this is the thing, like, people set out 2018, I'm going to do this. Like, 2018, I was not going to end up in hospital. Like, that wasn't in the plan.
Mm.
And then I'm there and couldn't move anything. And I just, that's the biggest learning, like, for me. I just kept on asking myself, like, literally every hour, or like, what can I do to get better? What can I do to get better? And, you know, when people, and I know I follow you guys and like love the shows and stuff, and you hear what everyone talks about and everyone's talking about simplifying things, but I don't know if anyone's actually doing it. And you go into a situation like that and literally my hand was like this, palm down. The first day in intensive care, all I tried to do was rotate it to palm up. And that took about 10 or 15 seconds. So I did 10 reps every hour on the hour, like an absolute CrossFit geek, and just kept on doing that the whole day. And it was the smallest things that sort of make it. And I mean, even when I went back to the gym and I did a talk the other day, I was like, you know, in that, like, the first 2 weeks, I went into my gym 5 a.m. every day and I just set up my phone for Tabata, 1 hour of Tabata every single day, 20 on, 10 off, 20 on, 10 off. And people are like, what are you doing? So I'm trying to get better. And literally the first exercise I was doing was just standing onto a 1-inch mat, like Tabata that and something else.
Oh, like a step up.
Just like a step up. Yeah. Like, so I'd take a step up and then I'd just try and raise my hand and just try and pull like just the most basic things, but repetition. And that's why a lot of people say to me, oh, your recovery was so fast. I'm like, shut up. You don't know anything. My recovery was slow as hell, but I went every day to the gym and I did what I could do. And I think if you know, for folks that are listening, if you just take that mentality or that mindset and just ask yourself, like, what can I do today to get better? Like, you guys do it. Your podcast is just going so well. You just think, like, what can we do to make it better? We're always trying to make it better. But I think a lot of the time we're looking for the big wins. You know, we're looking like, how can I compete on the level? Let's talk about podcast world. Like, how can I get to Joe Rogan level? You know, stuff like that. Well, you get there by doing those small things. So, yeah, what a start to the year. It was wild.
Like, obviously, you came back to the gym and it wasn't going, like, you couldn't do a lot. What was that feeling like? Was that a result of all the broken bones, or was it that you had a punctured lung and all the treatment, and that kind of left you like quite weak?
Yeah. Both of them, to be honest, mate, talking about the weight fluctuation, which is, I guess, where we sort of started that question. I dropped down when I checked out of hospital. I was 81 kilos. Wow. Breathing was very hard. I had to have a nebulizer for about 2 weeks because that blood that was coming up essentially gets trapped in the windpipe. So you're sort of trying to cough it out. If anyone's broken a rib before, you'll know exactly what this feels like. Every time you try and breathe, it hurts. Every time you try and cough, it hurts even more. So the breathing was limiting, and also didn't want to put a lot of pressure on my lung because it essentially exploded and those holes needed to heal. So that was painful. And then obviously just movement, like I remember the orthopedic surgeon coming into ICU and he was like, it was the best news he'd ever given me, really. He was like, your scapula is in so many pieces, I can't operate on it. That sounds really good because I didn't really want anyone to operate on me, you know what I mean? And then he goes, because you have so many rib fractures, there's really not much I can do. So he said, I'm just going to leave you and it's going to be slow, it's going to be painful. You know, but it's every day just like moving the arm a little bit more. Like, and at the start, as I said, it was literally turning my hand over. So they were the limiting factors. But this also, like, every doctor that I saw, and I saw three or four doctors, only saw two physios, which is an interesting story in itself. But all the doctors are like, you managed to survive because you're strong and fit. They said, if you are not strong and if you're not healthy, you would have died immediately. And so, linking back to what you said, like, that gave me a lot of motivation to get back in the gym and to get stronger again. Because if I got hit again within a couple of weeks, I was feeble, and you know, I was just making sure I got strong again. And then, you know, I saw one or two physios, had two physio sessions in the hospital, and I saw one more physio, and I just listened to what they said, and I went away and did it, and I never went back to a physio. I haven't had it checked, but my shoulder moves absolutely perfectly now. A lot better than it did before, actually.
Released all those knots, that fucking truck, 60 kilometers an hour. Full range, I finally got full range.
External rotation.
Isn't it? That's it. It was quite funny though, because everyone comes to the hospital, and a natural question is like, how long will the recovery take? And I didn't have an answer because I didn't know, but I said to myself, I said, what's the most like difficult, complex movement that I do? I'm going to use that as a measure for when I'm better. And I was like, it's a muscle up. Like, if you think about broken ribs, broken shoulder, like getting into that bottom position and then just getting yourself on top of the rings. And it took me about 6 months and then I could do a muscle up.
Wow.
And I was like, that was the day that I said, yeah, now I'm ready again, you know. But I'd run a lot, and that was the thing. Like, some things were quite easy. Running at the start was limiting because, as I said, because of my lungs. But it was challenges, but I just saw every challenge as an opportunity to make things stronger and to get better and to understand like what it feels like to be in this situation, and just to hope maybe I don't get hit by a truck again. I don't know. Let's see. I can't control that.
Yeah. Were you so when did you decide to do the marathons?
Well, it's funny because when I was in hospital, I'm a brand ambassador for Volvic, and I'd committed to Volvic to run a marathon in France across a volcano in the 3 months after my accident. And a few weeks before my accident, one of my friends had sent me the hardest trail run in Europe, which was 195K, 13,000 meters elevation, which is about 3,000 or 4,000 more than Everest. And it's the length of Corsica. And I from the hospital bed, I sent it to one of my friends that I just knew would say yes. I was like, dude, in summer, I can't ride my bike anymore. Let's run across Corsica. And I didn't tell him the distance or the elevation. He just wrote back and he goes, yep.
Everyone's got that friend.
So we sort of started planning there. And I just did some things along the way. And then, to be honest, where this idea really came from of the marathons, guys, I live here in Dubai. The business is based here in Dubai. And I was like, we travel a lot for fitness challenges. You know, France, Corsica, I just mentioned there. And I was like, what can we do in Dubai? how can we really make a positive impact on the local people? And we have as many problems with obesity. And I mean, you guys have been here, you've seen it. It's carnage. You know, it's getting worse. And it's not just, a lot of people say it's the Arab community. It's not just the Arab community. Their stats are worse because there's not many of them and just it's carnage there. But it's us guys as well. It's the expatriates. And I was just like, I reckon I can make a big impact. And we have something here every October into November called Dubai Fitness Challenge, where His Highness Sheikh Hamdan challenges everyone to 30 minutes of exercise a day for 30 days. And I was like, this is perfect. I'll run a marathon every day during that challenge whilst everyone's sort of feeling all fitnessy. And it's a funny story because one of my friends is in high position in Dubai Tourism who organized it. And he said, yeah, we'll make it happen. I sent him a message. Yeah, we'll make it happen. And then I spoke to one of the event directors, and he was like, no, mate, you can't do that. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, no, this initiative is aimed at getting sedentary people 30 minutes of exercise a day for 30 days. I was like, yeah, I know all of that. I said, that's why I'm going to run a marathon, because if I run a marathon every day, all these sedentary people will go, well, that idiot over there is running a marathon. Of course I can do 30 minutes of exercise. So that's kind of... that's really where it came from. And it's quite weird, though. I think you guys have probably been through it as well. You have all these big ideas, and then someone goes, yeah, we'll do this. And you're like, oh, we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's when it hits home and it becomes real. But yeah, and then they were like, yep, it's going to start on the 26th of October, and there's 30 days. And this was one of the cool things as well. They were like, we'll leverage it. We'll get it into schools. So I finished 12 or 15 of my runs at schools, and that was just wild. We'd have like 1,000 kids running around the track with me, and it sounds really like really fancy, but when you're on like day 23 and your legs are absolutely smoked and you come into a school and all these kids are fired up and they want to run like 400 meters at like three minutes 15 a day, you just go, oh my god, this is just the worst. Your legs are just screaming out. So yeah, that's really where the idea came from.
So you had to get in marathon shape within 3 months of your accident.
The marathon started, so February 10th was my crash, and the marathon started October 26th. But that first marathon that I did in Volvic, yeah, was in 3 months.
Right.
It was 3 months, which I wouldn't say I was in marathon shape. I went there to honor what I'd said to the guys and to finish. But yeah, that was my first run, or my first big run.
Did you get any like reoccurring issues come up, like with the lungs or anything, like when you're trying to get back into the training?
Not really, mate, because, and I think this is what's important, I really went on what my body said. Like if my lungs really started hurting, I just pull back a little bit. You know what I mean? And I think that's where, as we're amateurs, you know, we were talking before about professional CrossFit athletes and professional athletes, and they can push it a bit, but we're amateurs, right? So what we want to do with fitness is ensure that we can continue to perform fitness pretty much every day for as long as possible. Mm. You don't do that when you're injured. Mm. You do that when you're fresh. You know what I mean? So I was like, I need to push hard, but I don't want to hurt myself. So yeah, some days, and it was different. Like I remember one day I jumped into a class workout, and the first part of the workout was a 400 meter run around the gym. And this one guy just took off at lightning speed, and I was running next to him. I'm like, oh my God, my lungs are going to explode. And I just had to go, no, I'm out. And it just had to pull down, which for people that are competitive, like that's something that's super hard to do. But I think if I wasn't in touch with my body and listening to it a lot, then things could have been quite different, because, you know, and that's what I really encourage people to do. Like just understand how your body works so that you can pull and push it to the right limits at the right times. And I think I found quite a good balance in doing that.
It's like when you get really bad back pain, how you like first learn, like, okay, I know what you mean when you say like, don't push it. When you like get long back pain for a while, maybe it's like that to an extreme when you have like a near death experience. You're like, no, I really know what it feels like to be like hospitalized. I'm not fucking pushing this shit.
Yeah. And I think it's tough mentally, because we're in this sort of world where we often compare ourselves too much with other people, you know, and we're like, oh, I need to be like him. And, you know, we follow all these douchebags on Instagram that are just posting shit that isn't even true anyway. And we're like, yeah, he can do that. Well, he can't really do that. And we all know that. But like, you start to compare yourself to him, and it's like, no, you gotta be so narrow-minded sometimes. You gotta focus so much on your goals and also your inventory at that time. Like, where are you at? You know, and that's what. It's hard because I went running on the track with, we have an endurance team here within NFI, and you know, I'm used to running close to the front, and suddenly I'm running right at the back, and that's my limit on that day. So mentally and almost egotistically, it's very hard, but you have to accept it. Otherwise, you're not going to get better, and you have to trust that if you accept it and move in the right way, that you will get better and you will get back to the front. And I think that's one of the hardest things these days with the way that motivation, social media, and, you know, people's minds just work in a crazy way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So in preparation for the running, did you do like a new program, or did you write your own stuff? Did you hire a running coach? Because it doesn't seem like you've done too much stuff like this before. What was your approach? Yeah.
I've done a little bit of ultra running before, but okay. I've always sort of just coached myself, and always wanted to be the CrossFit guy who could run an ultra marathon, just to prove to the other CrossFit guys that it would come up and you need to be able to do it. And suddenly now it does come up in CrossFit and they do need to be able to do it. But that's a different story. So I do a lot of my own programming and sort of figure out a lot. Like, I do all of my strength stuff. Then in summer, actually hired a new coach to come and work for us at NFI Endurance. And he's a mature student, so 28, and just graduated with a first in sports and exercise science. And I was like, you're my coach. I said, you're going to write all of my run programming for me. This is a test, not a test as in I was trying to test him, but I said, I don't know how to prepare for 30 marathons in 30 days. He was like, yeah, why? And I was like, well, I need someone to be accountable to and also to spin ideas back and forward from. So yeah, Tom sort of, you know, took me through it and did all of the training. And we coach a lot of, like, at the moment I'm coaching about 10 to 15 ultra athletes. So people that are doing, I have five guys next year in Marathon des Sables and stuff like that. So, but we come at it from a perspective of, yeah, we need to run, but how do you run better? You run better by having good biomechanics, and you also run better by having strength. And, you know, if you look at like Corsica, 13,000 meters of elevation, you're not going up there if you've got chicken legs with no power. You know what I mean? So you need to be strong. And I think that's where there's a lot of learning from quite old school strength techniques, you know, just a lot of single leg stuff, a lot of just almost like working on your core, just taking it again right back. Like, how's your side plank going? How's your regular plank? Just the real basic stuff. How's your glute activation? And so that, like, for my running training, that's, I still do like four strength sessions a week. And I think biceps are always going to be something close to everyone's heart. You just need to make, you know, I think honestly, that's one of the things. And I know that sounds a little bit childish and vain, but you know, when I did have my crash, I felt like I looked sick. Like, my arms are just, you know, not in the shape they're in before. And you know, one of the things, talking about motivation, you want to get up in the morning, you want to look in the mirror and you want to go, yeah, I'm ready for this. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of runners just get super, and endurance athletes just, you know, and Tom said to me, he goes, mate, I think you need to lose some weight for this. I was like, dude, I've just fought to get from 81 to 91. And that took about 5 months to get those 10 kilos back. I said, you're not having 1 kilo of this. I said, and my objective is to stay 90 kilos for all of the marathons. And I actually managed to do it. I think I just dipped under 89 kilos in the last, to 89 kilos in the last week. So yeah, just looking at what people do, looking into, and you know, we use social media in a positive way as well. Look at what other trail athletes are doing. We had on our show a guy called Tom Evans, who's had a massive fire rant of ultra running, sort of asking those guys what training they're doing. That all really helped. But a lot of it, it's like any sport, it's adaptation as well. You know, I've had to have run 42 for 30 days, like every day. So we just started building it up. We're like, okay, today we'll do 15, tomorrow 15, the next day 15, and blocks of 3 or 4 days up to a stage where I was in the UK and I think I did 250K in a week when I was there as a training week, just to see how wow. it feels and to get the body to adapt. Yeah, like fit. That's the thing with and it's still my massive belief that fitness is adaptation. We can teach our bodies, like, you know, you get strong by adapting to those weights. You get fit, like you do it every single day and you start to adapt. So at about, by the time they confirmed the initiative, we had about 2.5 months to train for it. So that gave us plenty of time to do like really big training weeks, 250, 300 Ks and sort of get ready for it. So yeah, that was a lot of running.
Mm. what sort of stuff comes up that maybe you didn't really expect towards the sort of end half of the 30 marathons yeah. and 30 days?
That's a, you know, I went into it, I was like, yeah, I'm running my gym, I'm running my food business with my wife. This is going to be the schedule. Marathon in the morning, a little bit of recovery.
To the gym, AM session.
Coaching people. Like, yeah.
Weights
like,
at
I
night.
I even said to myself, I'll do like 2 upper body and core sessions a week just because, you know, I don't want to lose all those gains. And it got to like the 4th day and I was like, this is just not happening. Mm. You literally get back, recover, sleep a little bit. Social media obviously started to explode. Questions, abuse. You shouldn't be doing this to your body. Like, oh, yeah, whatever, guys.
Always,
you know,
the abuse.
Like, and I'm sure you guys have seen it. Like, for every positive or for 5 positives, you get a negative message. So sort of managing my Instagram the whole time, took a lot of time. And then as the initiative grew, this was what was amazing. Like, people would just come and run with me. I had over 400 people running with me over the 30 days.
Oh, wow.
That was wild. I think 40 odd people completed the full marathon, of which 20 did it. That was their first time they'd ever run a marathon.
Mm. Oh, shit.
Ran with me. It's wild. One guy did, like, he did his first marathon like a week in and he did 2 more. So he'd done 3. He'd never done one before. And he did 3
marathons. Crazy. Wow.
It was even like CrossFit, like hardcore CrossFit dudes were coming and doing marathons with me. And I'm like, you know, and it would take them a little bit longer and stuff, but they're like, they were just like, nah, if you can do this every single day, then they said that they could do it. But I think, you know, one thing, guys, that was incredible for me was the way that my body adapted to running. I remember on the 5th day, I ran on an athletics track. I ran 105 laps of a 400-meter track. And yeah, it's actually quite funny because I put a little throwback on my Instagram the other day. I was like, I really suggest everyone tries the 105 by 400 diet. I said, if you've been counting your macros for a while, this diet really is the right diet for you. And I put a big spiel about it and I got about 25 messages. Oh, I've Googled the 105 by 400 diet. Can you tell me what it is?
It's good for weight loss.
Social media, yeah. Yeah, great for weight loss. And I put this thing. Yeah, but in that run, like doing laps, I think I had about an hour to go, and my right hamstring was literally, I thought it was torn. Like, I was like, I've torn it. It's done. But this is one of the biggest things that I learned. I didn't give myself a choice. There was only one thing that was ever going to happen. I was going to finish these 30 marathons. Sometimes we go into things and we're like, okay, I'll try and run 10K today. And if not, I've got my smartphone. I'll get an Uber and I'll come back. Like, I mean, that's what happens, right? It's just what happens. You're already giving yourself an out. You've already given yourself an excuse. You've already given yourself way too much choice. The brain works the best when it can just focus. So I'm running and I'm like, I have to keep running. And I didn't think, oh, I've got 25 of these to go. I was like, I need to keep running for the next hour. I had like 10K left. I was like, I'll do that and then I'll see how I feel. Mm. And at the end, I felt really bad and it was painful. And I said, no worries, I'll just do tomorrow. And every single day, I would just think about, and that's, I use the hashtag one marathon 30 times because I only focus on one marathon. Long story short, 2 days later, my hamstring was fine. Mm. I haven't felt it since. But at that particular point, if you'd have said to me, like, are you okay? I said, no, I've torn my hamstring. And it happened with, like, then my hip got sore. So you have this, you have almost this roller coaster of emotions. And I think what it did, like, there is such a thing as a runner's high. It's like CrossFit guys that are listening, you have a great workout, you feel, you know, let's go back to Fran, you PR your Fran time, you feel amazing, you don't fall over in a heap of shit on the floor like every other loser, sort of walking around the gym, chest is out, you're like, yeah, I finally, you know, broken 2 minutes or whatever, you're ultimately high, and you're in like what I would call this incredible state of flow. That happens in running. But when you run 30 marathons in 30 days, it happens for 5 minutes on one day, or 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. And what it taught me is everything, you'll get all of these emotions, they'll all come and then they'll all go. So if you're having a super good time, you just have to enjoy it and make the best of it. And when you're in that real rut, when you're hitting the wall, when you're having a chat with the devil, whatever you want to call it, you just have to, the only thing you have to do is keep putting one foot in front of the other. And if you do that, very soon that hell will pass. You'll go back and you'll start feeling good. And I said it to one of the kids at one of the schools, like, a marathon's 45,000 steps about, or it was on my watch. I was like, so if you can do one step and just repeat that 45,000 times, you can do a marathon. Now, that makes it sound really simple, but when you're absolutely buckled, when, you know, when you don't have a choice, you just have to do one step after the other. And that's like, some days, guys, it was hell. Like, you know, I don't want to talk it up or anything. Anyone who's done a marathon, hopefully, will have a little bit of empathy with me. Anyone who's run 5K and thought it was hell, like, but you just, when you don't have that choice, you just go and do it. And I would wake up every morning before my alarm. I only used the alarm 5 times in 30 days, which is wild. I was just awake every morning just after 4, and I would start just before 5 every day. And I would have to be somewhere, and there's no choice. You just have to get there. And you kind of figure it out, you know. And if you're committed, you just keep moving forward. And that was the key, really.
Mm. What was a particular day besides the hamstring day that it felt the hardest? Like, you weren't going to make it? Like, was it day 28 or something?
So if I tell you the relationship with Voltaren, because I think this is quite a good way to measure it. So I don't like taking painkillers. I don't really take many supplements at all. I believe in eating really good food and you'll get fueled. And day 11, my joints really started hurting. I was like, I've got to bring the inflammation down. So I started on Voltaren. By day 20, I was having a Voltaren. Like, it was crazy. This is a mental game. Like, I'd try and get as far into my run as possible before I took a second Voltaren. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, you've got 10K to go. That's an hour. Pop a Voltaren now. Half an hour will kick in. And the next half an hour, you're all good. And that would then come back to 2 hours. So at about a half marathon. And then the last 5 days, I was having a Voltaren before I went to bed. I was having one when I got up, and I was having one at when I finished. So I was sort of on like 3 Voltarens a day. It's hard to explain the pain, because I don't really know what pain is in comparison to someone else, because we don't know how other people are feeling pain-wise. Like, you'll tell me, yeah, that workout kicked my ass or something. The pain was excruciating for me. I might be completely soft, I don't know, but it was excruciating. But in those times, I was like, and I think this is one thing that people should understand, I didn't set out to do something that was easy. I never set out thinking that I wouldn't be in pain. I knew it was going to come. And part of me, it's like, that's why I did it. I did it to understand if there was a limit, what my human potential was, and to have a learning experience. So the last 5-6 days was brutal, guys. It was miserable for a lot of it. It really was. There were still those highs, but they would last short periods of time, and I would be low for a lot. But then, you know, and this is how it's just insane. On the 30th day, I woke up. I was really struggling with my left calf, to a point where, like, I had it heavily strapped for that last week. I woke up on the last day, on the 30th day, and I said to myself, I don't think I need any tape on it today. Like, the pain had gone. And I'm like, how is this? After 1,200 and by that point, 224 Ks, I'm not experiencing any pain. And I'd actually sent a message to my coach, Tom, on the end of the 28th day. And I said, mate, 30th day, we're going all in. I want to do a sub 4 hour marathon. So I'm not finishing this thing, because we'd started at like 4:08, then we'd gone to 4:15, just backed off. And that really helped with my recovery. Mm. I was like, I'm not finishing this thing without a sub 4 hour marathon. And we made a plan, and I was just so focused that day. And again, I could have, the last 3K, we were running about 3:30 a K.
Wow.
And that was like kilometer 1,264, 1,265, 1,000, like we'd done a lot of Ks, and I could have kept going forever, you know? So it's kind of, it's such a roller coaster, and it's so many learnings in one. But yeah, it's hard to explain the pain to people. I don't know. I really don't know how to. And I hate people saying, yeah, it was painful. It wasn't like, because I don't know what your pain feels like, you know? And I think that's something that people really need to think about. It's just a relationship that you have with pain, and it's different for everyone. And that's super important that you understand that.
How did you, is there anything like still left over from the 30 days that's still bothering you? I know you finished fairly recently, but is there like anything that's kind of stuck with you physically or mentally?
Yeah. Mentally, I think there's a lot. Mentally, it was just surreal. Like, I think what I was able to do was create so much focus on each day that that's all that mattered. I have a big chart where I've written like who ran with me, what I called every run, something different. And I've had to go back to that to remember what they were. So mentally, it's different. Like the Crown Prince came and ran with me one day.
Wow. Like the Crown Prince just rocks up one day and wants to run with me and runs 8K. And like, we're just talking about normal stuff. And like, so that was quite surreal as well. And then on the 29th day, we're at the bottom of Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. And they play this show. And then suddenly there's this video of me life size on the Burj Khalifa running across the Burj Khalifa.
Holy shit.
Like, I'm just like going, that's me just over there. I'm just like, wow. I've just run on the Burj Khalifa. It was quite funny. One of my friends sent me a message, and they're like, "You have just won Instagram. No one can beat that. No one can." They're like, "Just put that up straight away. No one can beat it." But I was just stood there. I was just like, "Oh my god, that's me running on that building." You know, because they told me a week before, they totally stitched me up. Like, I had to go down to the beach and I had to do this sort of Hasselhoff kind of thing, run across the beach. And they were like, we just want to shoot some videos for the closing ceremony to put your picture on Burj Khalifa. And I was just like, yeah, they won't do that. Like, why do they want me on Burj Khalifa? So I'm just running on the beach and, you know, and then, yeah, the next minute it was on the building and I was like, wow. So a lot of it's super surreal. And I think I'll just take a little bit of time to sink in. Physically it's hard, guys. Like, you keep going. It's almost like when you have a CrossFit competition, you go hard for 3 days, and like that last workout on the last day sometimes is your absolute best. You lay it all out there and you feel a million bucks. And on Monday you wake up and you're like, actually I'm okay. Tuesday it gets worse, and by Friday you just can't walk. And that's kind of been what's happening. Like, Tom, the guy that's been coaching me, he's like, mate, we really have to be careful. We really have to be careful. And I went running last week, actually was running with Andre and just trying to play with his emotions and, you know, just turning up the pace a bit here and there. And, you know, you just feel it. But I think it goes back to what we're saying about my lung. I know when something doesn't feel right. You know, when it's just not quite right. I've done a couple of runs, but just to have less impact. The good thing, and this was my promise to my wife, and, you know, big shout out to her. She's like uber supportive. She's like, the only thing with all of these challenges, just don't do yourself any permanent damage. Like, that's all she cares about. Especially, you know, it was tough. My when I was in ICU earlier in the year, you know, she's helping me. My mom was feeding me because I couldn't move my arms. It's like, it really does make you like respect your family a lot more and listen to what they say. And that was her thing. She said, you can do what you want. She said, just don't do yourself any permanent damage. And so far, I actually feel really good, you know. So hopefully I've got a few running goals for next year. A lot of people have been saying to me, what are you going to do for the 30-30 challenge for next year? And like a school this year that missed out, they're like, oh, we missed out booking you for this year, but can we book you now next year? I'm like, guys, no. Like, this is not a yearly
thing. Yeah, yeah.
That's what, I mean, you guys get it, and I think a lot of your listeners get it, but one guy said to me sort of on one of the, about the fifth run before the end, a good friend of mine is a runner as well. He paced me in the last run. He's like, you know what's crazy about your challenge, mate? I said, what's that? He goes, most of the world will not understand it.
Mm.
They'll see it and they'll be able to relate to it because it's running, but they have no idea what you've done and what you've been through. That's why people are asking you things like, can you come to our school next year? Because for them, and the way that, like, I try and be quite positive. Like, I can't turn up at the end of a run at school and be going, oh, like, I have to put on a brave face. Some days it was a real challenge. It really was. And I look back at some of the pictures that I was at some of these schools. I'm like, wow, how did I smile in that situation? But I've got 1,000 kids there waiting for me. They all need a high five and they deserve it, you know? And I wanted to motivate them and I wanted to inspire them and just try and send a good vibes. But yeah, it was tough. Some days it was wild at the end, you know? And I just wanted, and I'd get in the car and Holly had picked me up at every, she was amazing. She'd pick me up, she'd have a bag of water there and literally get in the car. And I just go, that was awful. And she said, yeah, I can see that. And we wouldn't talk all the way home. She'd drive me home 20 minutes. She wouldn't ask me a question. I wouldn't say anything. I'd just be in hell, just rolling around in the front seat of the car. But as I said, I guess that's why we do it. I don't know. I don't know why we do it at some times.
No, that's pretty cool. I think it's a pretty inspirational sort of journey. And yeah, I guess you sort of answer my next question is what you have on the cards next. We always kind of wrap this thing up with four questions. These might be a little bit different, but before we dive into them, I wanted to know if being so deep into the running world and also being so deep into the CrossFit world, are there any similarities between, or unexpected similarities between the running community and the CrossFit community?
Yeah, mate, I think that's a really good question. I think when CrossFit started, we kind of labeled ourselves CrossFitters and we thought we knew everything and we don't know nothing, like literally. The endurance world has been there forever. Like people have run forever. And if you look at it now, look at some of the top CrossFitters, who are they turning towards to have them coach them? They're endurance-based athletes or endurance-based coaches. So I think CrossFit has been a little bit arrogant. The endurance world is full of arrogant people as well. The world's full of arrogant people, guys. Let's not beat around the bush. But the point is that we can learn so much from that. And that's part of, I own a CrossFit gym. We have a big endurance division, but I know that for ongoing motivation and for ongoing learning is that there's such a good fit between these two. You know, CrossFitters should be able to do a triathlon. And triathletes should come and do weights to make their bloody skinny bodies stronger, you know?
Bitch legs.
But you look at the top guys in Ironman now, Jan Frodeno. Like, he's a beast strong. Okay, he still looks like a beanpole, but he's doing so much strength. So that's really the answer. Like, the two are so close. Just embrace it. And if you're a CrossFitter, go and do an endurance race. And if you're an endurance athlete, come and do a CrossFit workout. It's human performance. Let's keep it together because we can learn from each other. That's huge for me.
Yeah, Raph's dabbled in some long distance swimming recently. So he's not afraid to train his weaknesses. So diving into these final four questions, you may have done a little bit of thinking on them before, but first question, Marcus, is there anyone alive today that you would sit down and interview? Well, who is the person that is alive today, I should say, that you would sit down and interview? That, you know, you could ask any question and get it answered honestly.
I am a massive fan of Richard Branson. I love him. Okay. He's a legend. I think what he's done, which is probably not what you guys were expecting.
No, it's the first time. First time for Richard.
I think he's awesome, mate. I've read all his books, follow him closely, and I just think he's just living life, and he lives quite in the present, doesn't get stressed out about, or from what you see, doesn't get stressed out about stuff. You know, he just makes stuff happen. And look at the Virgin Empire. Just look at it, you know? Just, folks, just go and Google Virgin, spend 5 minutes reading about it. It's absolutely phenomenal. And then a couple of weekends ago, you know, he's playing tennis with Bjorn Borg on Necker Island. Come on. If that's not life, like, what, you know, what is it? I love the guy. I think he's awesome. Love to just spend a little bit of time with him and just hear what I've read firsthand. Like, he just seems like a super awesome guy. Maybe I'll be wrong, but Richard Branson's my man.
I used to watch his TV show. I can't remember what it was called.
Wow. He had a TV show.
Yeah, it was like a reality TV show where he would get... It was kind of like... what's that show where Donald Trump used to fire people? The Apprentice?
Yeah, The Apprentice.
It's kind of like The Apprentice. Around. Yeah. It's like Richard Branson's version of The Apprentice.
I feel like it'd be much more gentle. Like,
no, yeah. The challenges were hard, but he wasn't as brutal.
Yeah.
Did you watch that show, Marcus?
I haven't seen him, but I can imagine exactly what you said. Like, he just seems too nice to be brutal, doesn't he? He'd just be like, you can't work here anymore, but have a nice day. Yeah. Sort of thing, you know, whereas The Apprentice is a bit more boom. Yeah.
It was a lot like a lot of mental, like, trick questions and stuff in there. Because I think, though, he was trying to find someone to, like, work for Virgin or like, be a director of Virgin. It was, like, a really, really big position in Virgin. And he was kind of, like, testing them in, like, really extreme scenarios on, like, character and honesty and all this stuff. And, like, he would put them in really difficult situations and they'll make a choice and he'd be like, all right, you're, like, you failed the test. Like, you're out. Right. So it was pretty good.
That's sick.
All I remember is there was just one with, like, Niagara Falls or something. And it was, they were in like this box or something, and he made them get into the box and then go over Niagara Falls or something, but it was a test. They, like, weren't supposed to go into the box or something. It was like a fake test, and he's like, oh, like, you're too risky. Like, I can't have that level of risk taker or that someone with that bigger balls. Like, you know, I can't trust you. It's like, it's pretty interesting. So, yeah, he's a good guy. Good answer. Yeah, first time answer. For Sir Richard.
Thank you. There we go.
That's all he was thinking about in those 30 marathons.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I going to say?
Yeah.
Answer for you guys. Yeah.
Cool. So, second question, Marcus, is what is something that you do every day? Or maybe a better question is, maybe what's something you did over the 30 days of the marathons that kept you kind of, you know, intact and mentally sharp?
There's one super simple, and I still do it now. It's like special moments throughout the day with my wife. Like, I'll never get out of bed. I'll hug her for, like, even if it's like 2 seconds, and then I'll leave her, like, and she'll always just go, whatever, you know? And then we also will every day sit down for dinner together. We don't watch TV, so there's no distraction. We just create, like, almost, it sort of happens, I guess, just naturally. We just create a really, like, special moment every day. And it's not deep and emotional and crazy, like, we don't sit there and stare into each other's eyes and stuff, but we just eat dinner together every night and we just talk about the day. And I just think that that's something that, you know, if you go back to what we were saying before, in a world full of distractions and stuff, people have radio on, people have the TV on, people have phones at the table. We sit every night, we eat dinner and we talk. And that really is it doesn't always, and this is one thing, it's not always lovey-dovey. Like, sometimes we end up, like, just in a debate or even in an argument. But it's something that we do every day that I think just makes, I love it, and it makes my life the best. You know, I just think it's super awesome. Just creating that presence and just being with someone I love who's my wife. And I think that's super important.
That's awesome.
That's cool. If you're like, oh, what are you up to tomorrow? You're like, I got the marathon again. Oh, my God. Really fucking get into this.
How many fucking days is it again?
Yeah. But I think that's the thing. Like, she's got, and this is probably why we're together, she's just got an uncanny knack. I know she cares, but she doesn't sit there and go, like, how was it today? Are you sore? What are people saying to you on Instagram? We'll just talk about anything. And that almost in a way distracts, like, kind of what's going on. And it's just awesome. It's not, and as I say, it doesn't pan out. Like, sometimes you just get into an argument and that happens sometimes. But, you know, I just think that time is super important and I love it.
It's what happens with your best friend. Talk about anything, fight about anything.
Exactly.
Third question is, what is something recently that you've changed your mind on that for a while was a stronghold belief of yours, Mr. Marcus?
I think it's not super recent, guys, but I'm realizing it a bit more now. Like, it really doesn't matter what other people think. It just doesn't. I think you just have to, if you have your why and you have your goal, just go and get it. Like, who cares? You don't need validation through Instagram. You don't need validation through any single way, because people hate, and people are going to say you can't do it. Like, I imagine when you guys started out, you're like, podcast? Are you kidding? Like, what? Like, how's that going to work? Like, you guys are into fitness, you know? And look at what you've done with the Mind Muscle project. Like, you guys have killed it. So I just think that, you know, we're brought up in a way that we care too much about people's opinions. I don't think you need any validation. You want to go and run 30 marathons, go and do it. You think you can go to the CrossFit Games? That could be tough, but go and try.
Yeah.
You know, one of two things will happen. You'll be successful or you won't. There's no real middle of ground. And I think people just are looking for a lot of validation for their insecurities and stuff. And I don't care. I'm not here to make anyone happy. I care about my family. I care about the people around me. But, you know, end of the day, I want to do a challenge. Let's go and do a challenge. You know, I don't need anyone's approval except my wife.
As long as there's no permanent damage. No, I agree. I think there's so many people looking for, I think tied into that as well, is they're just looking for excuses. Like, most people do care what other people think. And so therefore the thing that they really want to do, once someone gives them the reason not to, that's their way out. And so it's kind of a sneaky way out as well. When, you know, 50 people on Instagram vote for no, you don't, you go, fuck it. I'm dyeing my hair blonde. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I noticed that. It looks good on you, mate. Don't worry. I think that's one thing, like the excuses. And I had people, like, they'd come up to me and they go, oh, I was going to run with you the other day and da-da-da. So I don't care. And I walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't emotional about it, but I don't want your excuses.
Mm.
If you want to run, you'll be at the flagpole, like where I started every morning, 5 o'clock, and we'll do it. You don't have to give an excuse. If I don't want to come to your party, I don't need to make up a bullshit excuse why, you know, I've got to drop my girlfriend and the brothers and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, guys, I can't make it tonight. And you've got to be good with that. And I've got to be good with that. But we always go, I can't make it because of blah, 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 blah. And it's always bullshit, really.
Yeah.
You know? So you just have to, no excuses, just yes, no, straightforward, do your stuff and don't care what too many other people think. Care what the people close to you think. I think that's super important.
Yeah, there were a lot of lazy motherfuckers doing 30 excuses for 30 days.
Oh, yeah. They've been unbroken since they were born.
I made excuses every day. I never did it.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. This would be a good one. So, Marcus, what is a book, say, maybe this year or the last couple of years that you kind of point to towards one of the best reads you've had? And then potentially as well, if you do have as well, a quote, not necessarily from the book, but just maybe a quote in general that you really like.
Yeah. I think books wise, like, obviously because I've been doing a lot of endurance stuff, you know, I think I read a book, Malcolm Gladwell, Endure, which is a super good book. One of the best books I've read as well, which I think everyone should read, is a super simple read, Legacy, all about the All Blacks. I think that really, you know, there's like seven rules that those guys live by or something like that. And that's super, like, it's super precise, you know. One of the rules is no dickheads, you know. It's like, it's so basic and, you know, sweep the sheds and stuff like that. So I think those kind of books really, really resonate with me. As far as quotes go, you know, I guess I've got a couple. I think I love our brand mantra, show no weakness, which doesn't mean that you can't, like, if you listen to this show back, you realize that I'm quite emotional about certain things. It's not about trying to be a big, strong, hard man, but it's just about not being a complete pussy. It's just about, you know, you can run 100 meters. You can do a box jump. Just go and try. You know what I mean? I think there's, when I came up with our brand mantra, is like, I just thought people were a bit soft. People were just saying no to stuff before they'd even tried it. Like, you're going to surprise yourself. Running's probably the lowest barrier, you know. It's so inclusive. And that's why this was such a great challenge as well. But, you know, you can run. And you know what? If you get super tired and your legs really hurt, which you have to be the judge of, just walk for 50 meters and then just keep going. And that's really what no weakness means to me. And, you know, I thought about that a lot during my runs, you know, and that was a funny thing. People, like, when I ran with the Crown Prince, were like, "Oh, you've got so many new Instagram followers." I was like, "Are you kidding me? Do you really think that when I'm running, I'm thinking about a new Instagram follower?" I was like, "You guys are so delusional about what's going on." I'm thinking about the kids at the school. I'm thinking about how I can prove to myself what no weakness means. And I think that's super important. But I get a massive amount of inspiration from books, guys. And, you know, it's wild. You got to listen to it. David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. I'm like halfway through it. If you guys get him on your show, like, you'll be my ultimate friend. Because this guy is like, his new book's out now and it's just wild. And I just connect with so many cool things that he says. But I think there's a lot of choice of books out there. And a lot of people ask me, like, what should I read and stuff. But I think just the most simple and basic things repeated over and over get you what you want. Now, there isn't a magic, you know, we're not reinventing medicine or stuff like that. Most of us aren't, you know. Our lives and the success of our lives is our ability to do the simplest things over and over and over and just not be a pussy about it. And that's what no weakness means to me. And, you know, that's why I'm just gonna keep going. And I don't know, hopefully next year it's not 30 marathons, but it might be.
I would personally like to see you team up with Ross Edgley. You guys, like, I don't know, he picks the time domain and you pick, like, the movement, and you two just go at it.
He picks the tree. Nice. Like, all right, dude, but that motherfucking tree has come with us.
He would kill me. That guy is a big, like, wow. Like, you guys said it before. I think one of you said it at the start, like, doing something for 30 days. I think people don't understand what Ross did. 157 days, average swimming time, 12 hours a day. Like, 12 hours. Just, like, who can even – it's wild. The guy is insane. And then he goes on Joe Rogan's show and they talk about MMA. Like, who actually cares about the UFC?
I know, right?
I'm like, guys, 2.5 hours and an hour and a half is, like, about the UFC.
Always what happens with Joe Rogan.
So good.
Yeah, always what happens.
So good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I love Joe Rogan, but that was wild.
I think he just had insane patience.
Yeah. So we'll get him back on and we'll talk about it.
The truth.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be good. But yeah, that was we appreciate you sharing all that you shared today and some pretty brutal insights into pretty amazing sort of feet. So I don't know if we've officially congratulated you, but yeah, finishing that I think is pretty amazing. It's a lot of work. So Marcus, what's the best best place people can go follow you? I know you don't care, but I think it's MJD_Smith.
No, the easiest thing is hop over to Instagram, MJD_Smith. Hit me up on there. I actually reply to everyone, because if someone, unless you're a complete douchebag, and I got some of that. Imagine I got to 30 days and I got half a dozen people send me a message. "Oh, mate, you're at 30 days. Well done. I didn't think you'd do it." I'm just like, how good's the world?
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, hit me up on Instagram, guys. I'd love to hear from people. And if anyone wants to come running or even doing, anyone wants to come do Fran, like, that'd be quite cool, because it's quite a lot shorter than running around.
Nice. He'll still tell you up. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, Marcus, like I said, thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate it. And we can't wait to see what happens with you and Ross in the future.
Yes.
I appreciate it, guys. And thank you for everything that you guys do. You rock and you've done a super good job. And I love listening to your show. So it's really a pleasure to be on it.
Thanks, Marcus.
Awesome. Thanks, mate.
What an amazing episode with Marcus. An incredible story. Just an all-round great guy, full of energy. And we can't wait to see what's on the cards next for him. Bigger and better. So... maybe he'll drag a log. I don't know. Maybe he'll go the Ross Edgley. Who knows? But incredible guy. You guys can work with Activated Nutrients on the subscription plan, activatednutrients.com, and then choose the subscription option with the product that you choose. And then, of course, Beyond Macros as well, when you use the code MMP10. And that's going to save you a little bit of a discount on the group program. So beyondmacros.com/group to find out that offer there. And then, of course, guys, we are fully stocked in our apparel, themymuscleproject.com/apparel, if you want to rock the MMP's new gear. All right, thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.